Grace and peace to you all in the Lord Jesus Christ as we gather via the internet this morning and praise and thank God for life and for God's love in our Savior. It's good together. And of course, there is a very big issue that is in front of the world at this time, the pandemic. But there's an even bigger issue which is in front of Christians in this coming week, and that's the passion and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. And so I want to focus on those subjects today in our service of worship as I welcome you and any who may be visiting or watching via Facebook for the first time. We're so glad that you're with us. And I want to say that I personally have appreciated the prayers of the community for my leadership, and I have prayed earnestly for you individually and as a congregation and as a community of faithful followers of Christ. I want to invite everyone specifically to return again at 7:30 p.m. on Maundy Thursday for our service of worship that will take place here, 7:30 Thursday, and again 7:30 on Friday for the Tenebrae service here in the sanctuary via the internet. And I encourage everybody to participate in our services. It's so easy to be a spectator, to watch. But I encourage those who have received the worship bulletin to follow the service and to participate as fully as you're able. And if you do not have a bulletin and would like one, please do contact the church and we will send you a bulletin for next week's, for these services upcoming. And I also want to pray for the world this week as we observe Easter, and also for our Jewish brothers and sisters as they start the week of Passover on Wednesday. Thank you. Please join in the call to worship. They brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments on it, and he sat upon it. Many spread their garments on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. Those who went before and those who followed cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Let's join our...
Thank you.
Let us pray together. We praise you, O God, for your redemption of the world through Jesus Christ. Today he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed Messiah and King by those who spread garments and branches along his way. Let the branches be signs of victory and turn our hearts again to Jerusalem and to the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In your mercy, enable us to share in his obedience to your will and his victory over death. Give us the same mind that was in him, that sharing in his humility, we may come to be with him in his glory, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Our sins and regrets are truly heavy, but we have an advocate in heaven who intercedes for us with divine grace. Because we trust God's promises, we dare to confess our sins in prayer. Together, then, let us ask God's forgiveness. God of great mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you. First, we greet you with praise. Then we abandon you in peril. First, we welcome you with songs. Then we forsake you in suffering. We are weak and so full of worry for things that do not last. For by your steadfast love, create a clean heart within us. Teach us your holy way and restore the joy of salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear now the good news. God loved the world so greatly that he gave his only Son, that whoever should believe in him would be saved. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. In Christ, we are forgiven and set free. God's word in Jesus Christ gives us new life out of his mercy. Let us give thanks and live freely in Christ. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Usually at this time in our service, the ushers come forward to receive the plates, and the people offer themselves and their gifts to God for the mission of Christ through this congregation and the world and many other ministries. I invite you at home to reflect on your own gifts, the gifts that God has given you and asks you to share with others, not just monetary, but gifts of your spirit, your joy, your hope, gifts of the material things that you have, your food, your kind words. Give God glory by your gifts. And let us pray now to ask God to bless all our gifts. Lord, we are grateful for all your love, and we ask that you will fill us with joy as we participate in the kingdom that is to come, the kingdom of heaven of which Jesus spoke so often. Amen. As we come to reading of our scriptures for today, let's bow together and ask for God's assistance and for the spiritual inspiration that we need to hear God's word truly. Let us pray. Oh, prepare our hearts to hear and to accept your word. And by your Spirit, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do to obey Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Old Testament lesson is found in the book of Psalms, Psalm 118, a famous psalm for Holy Week, for Palm Sunday, inspiring Jesus as it inspires us today. Let us hear God's word. We read Psalm 118, verses 1 through 2, then 19 through 29. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. O Lord, save us. O Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God. He has made his light shine upon us with boughs in hand. Join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give you thanks. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And the New Testament lesson is recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 21, reading the first 11 verses. Again, as I read, listen for the word of God. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds went ahead of him, and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of God! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Thank you. How very, very glorious. Thank you. Life holds many questions. Seeking and wondering characterize childhood and all of education, asking questions. If children and young people don't ask questions, we suspect something's wrong. If questions are absent in older years, we suspect something might be wrong. Curiosity is good. The great philosopher Socrates used questions in his teaching method, and now that very method bears his name. He said that questions are the best response to all questions. A big part of investigating crime is interrogation, questioning suspects and victims. In reviewing the important portions of the New Testament that we will read all week this week, the questions leap out at me, beginning with the big question that buzzed through Jerusalem when Jesus entered, just as the prophet had said the Messiah would enter, humble and mounted on a donkey. You heard the question. Jerusalem asked, "Who is this?" And his disciples answered. One of the great symbols of Palm Sunday and any liturgical celebration of the chaotic, foreboding entrance of Jesus into the holy city could for me easily be a gigantic question mark. For once, the disciples had done just exactly as Jesus had directed in preparation for the end. And as the crowds shouted their accolades, and one of the great untranslated words they use, a plea rather than an honorific, "Hosanna," they shouted, save us, we beg you, heard throughout the whole city in turmoil that day. The true question, who is this? That deep question, who is this, shapes our faith again and again, doesn't it? It certainly shapes mine. The identity of Jesus seemed in constant flux in the minds of those who lived in Jerusalem when he entered, and it still is in flux for millions alive today. The perceived identity of the pilgrim that we heard about in Psalm 118 also morphed. That pilgrim had previously been rejected like a worthless stone, and yet later he entered to thank Yahweh for his goodness and asked for help and success in his mission. He was greeted by the priests with the word, "Hosanna," which centuries before Jesus had become a standard in Jewish liturgy. Save us. Even the branches themselves of myrtle and willow and palm leaf that were used for the feast of booths of tabernacles, those branches themselves came to be called hosannas. There in Jerusalem, the messianic hope had many times been expressed. And once again, the city was asking, who is this? The poet W.H. Auden, who characterized the entire mid-20th century as the age of anxiety with his great poem, he should have lived in a time of pandemic. But he did live in a time of Cold War. Around us everywhere, there are people who, for the lack of assurance, simply stew in their anxiety, as many of us have done these past weeks at home. I don't mean for a moment that people totally lack for answers, because everywhere around us there are demagogues who give plenty of self-confident answers. Much of humanity, in the insecurity of humanity, is economic. We wonder if and how our future might be provisioned. Disease in the mix creates such turmoil. Throw just a little gob of terrorism, some climate change, anxiety runs high. Every youth rightly asks what the future may hold. Even greater than these insecurities are the prevalent reigning interpersonal and individual psychological insecurities that we experience. Lack of conviction based on trusting, loving relationships with our Creator, evidenced in trusting, loving relationships with those closest to us. How can we become more rooted and grounded in love? An important question. You who have come to your screens this morning, you who have entered Jerusalem with me, are you asking, who is this with his contemporaries living in Jerusalem then? Have you come seeking to enthrone him once more as the ruler of your life? Do you rejoice with the crowds of children who knew who he was when he rode in? If not, what must happen for that to be fulfilled in you? If you journey through Holy Week as part of our congregation, Seekers in Faith, dispersed yet together, as people who ask God to save us, how far will you go with him? Haven't we begun very well? We have, with our procession of greeting today, and with the glorious music, with our palms that grace our sanctuary. But won't you also continue into Thursday evening to go to the upper room where he taught his followers about his broken body in bread for that first time? Am I asking you a lot of questions today? In a wonderfully, wonderfully playful poem that my dear daughter introduced me to long ago, there's an amazing commentary on our situation. The poem is called Totally Like Whatever by the great poet Taylor Mali. In case you hadn't noticed, it has somehow become uncool to sound like you know what you're talking about or believe strongly in what you're saying. Invisible question marks and parenthetical you knows have been attaching themselves to the ends of our sentences. Even when those sentences aren't like questions, you know? Declarative sentences, so-called because they used to, like, declare things to be true, as opposed to things which were like not, have been infected by a totally hip and tragically cool interrogative tone. You know, like, don't think I'm uncool just because I've noticed this. This is just like the word on the street, you know. It's like what I've heard. I have nothing personally invested in my own opinions, okay? I'm just inviting you to join me in my uncertainty. What has happened to our conviction? Where are the limbs out on which we once walked? Have they been like chopped down with the rest of the rainforest? Or do we have, like, nothing to say? Has society become so, like, totally? I mean, absolutely, you know? That we've just gotten to the point it's just like, whatever. And so, actually, our disarticulation-ness is just a clever sort of thing to disguise the fact that we've become the most aggressively inarticulate generation to come along since, you know, since a long time ago. I entreat you, I implore you, I exhort you, I challenge you to speak with conviction, to say what you believe in a manner that bespeaks the determination with which you've been. Because contrary to the wisdom of the bumper sticker, it is not enough these days simply to question authority. You have to speak with it too. Well, if you think I'm asking a lot of questions this morning, May I ask you to listen to some others that you're going to be hearing through the week in the scriptures? It is simply amazing to me how full of questions the Passion story is. Of course, I'm a grammar geek, and I love the interrogative and other three voices of grammar, but the interrogative leaps out today. A few chapters into Matthew, we'll read how one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, went to the authorities and asked, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" On the first day of the Passover, the disciples asked Jesus, "Where do you want us to make the preparations to eat the Passover?" And when they were eating, he showed that he knew that one would betray him, and they all asked him the same question that still to this day must stab at the heart of each person alive who loves the Lord. You know the question? Is it I, Lord? Is it I? When Jesus identified Judas, his response was a question. "Surely not I, Rabbi." In the garden later, when his friends fell asleep, he prays and asks God to take the cup of suffering from his lips, and on discovering his followers, merely asks them, "Couldn't you stay awake with me just 1 hour?" Did you remember that same question has to be asked a second time by Jesus? And when the soldiers come to arrest him and brandish their swords, he merely asks them a string of questions to rebuke their use of force. "Do you think I can't appeal to my Father to send 12 legions of angels? But how would the scriptures be fulfilled if I did that? Although I was in the temple teaching day in and day out, have you come with swords and clubs to capture me as though I were a bandit?" Oh, so many questions. They continue. That same night, he is officially interrogated, questioned. Doesn't the irony sink in deeper for you if you have burned to enthrone him in your life? For he had preached and befriended and healed and taught them with his marvelous stories. Yet following a string of false witnesses who testified that night against him, they asked him such things as, "Have you no answers? Don't you hear what they are saying against you?" So many questions. The high priest tore his clothes and cried, "He has blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? What is your verdict?" Questions, questions. I marvel at how secure Jesus was in himself. Though he knew he was in such deep trouble that he would not survive it, yet he is reported to have remained soft-spoken. In every congregation who have ever been angry would have been answered softly by the Christ we all have sat. The questions that hallow our texts do not relent. "Are you not Peter, one of his followers?" Peter's answer was no. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews? Do you not hear how the accusations are that they make against you?" He gave no answer. "Do you refuse to speak to me? Don't you know I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" At another point, Pilate asks, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus replied with a question of his own. "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" During the interchange, Pilate also asks piteously, "What is truth?" As though there were none. And Pilate also queried the crowd on the annual day of release of one prisoner, "Whom do you want me to release? Jesus Barabbas or Jesus called the Messiah?" After their famous answer, Pilate consulted the rabble again. "What should I do with Jesus called the Messiah?" "Let him be crucified," they shouted. "Why? What evil has he done?" asks Pilate. But they shouted their answer louder still. The gospel is full of questions. Full. At the cross, Jesus faced derisive questions from the crowd, and one of the criminals beside him asked the question, "If you are the Savior, why don't you save yourself?" But the other criminal rebuked the first with a question. "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation?" And the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, would pray the famous question in his agony of body and spirit. My God, why have you forsaken me?" There are many details we have left out, but I assure you, there are questions too that we have left out that will be voiced on Easter morning. Those questions that well up inside us between now and that day of victory are questions that I invite you to contemplate deeply if these questions you have heard me recite have brought you any closer to Him. And I pray that these questions have done so. So, what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Is there any sense in belonging to the body, the church, as one of His brothers and sisters, one of His disciples? Can we glimpse eternity in self-giving and loving offerings of the Son of God for the world? And if we do, will we be setting ourselves up for some big changes in our lives? At every single baptism of new believers, which always take place by the thousands around Easter week, the question is asked, "Who is your Lord and Savior?" Today and every day this week, I invite you to ask yourself, "Who is my Lord and Savior?" Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. And now let us affirm our faith using the words of a brief statement of faith that is printed in our bulletin. Let us affirm our faith together. We trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed and blessing the children, healing the sick and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition, Jesus was crucified, suffering the depths of human pain and giving his life for the sins of the world. God raised this Jesus from the dead, vindicating his sinless life, breaking the power of sin and evil, delivering us from death to life eternal. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God, Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Once again, let us unite our spirits in prayer, and let us bring our prayers as one before Almighty God. And I will ask you to make a response to the prayers. When you hear me say, "Lord, in your mercy," will you please say, "Hear our prayer." Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. In Christ Jesus, O God, we have a great high priest who knows our weakness and suffering. Therefore, with boldness, let us seek God's grace. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With boldness, we pray for the church. O God, let the mind of Christ be in us, giving away the riches of heavenly glory, taking the place of humble service on earth. Bless and keep your church in all its work throughout the world to show the loving redemption of Christ our Savior, who gave his life, a fragrant offering, the sins of the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With boldness, we pray for the whole earth. God, let the whole earth tremble this day, not with fear of destruction, but with hope of redemption and healing. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With boldness, we pray for all nations and all leaders. Let the nations see your suffering servant, O God, the one who vindicates victims of violence, who sustains the weary with a word, who blesses and keeps those who run to trouble. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With boldness, we pray for this community, for all of its needs, for all of its safety, for those who live and love you, for those who do not know you. Let us stand with all who suffer today, the outcast, the homeless, despised and forsaken, prisoners, and with any condemned to death. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With boldness, we pray for our loved ones, scattered, often far away, and far from our embrace, even when we stand in their front yard and sing to them. Let your face shine upon the weak, those who spend a life in sorrow, those who grieve the death of ones they love this week and last week and the week before that. We pray for all whose souls and body have wasted away. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. To you, O God, we entrust these prayers, knowing that you alone can provide to help in our time of need. In the name of the great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus Christ, our sovereign Savior, who taught his followers when praying together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Ride on, ride on in majesty.
Now, in this coming week, I charge you to ask yourselves questions and to listen to the God of the universe who asks us the questions of faith and hope and love to be shared. And may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and forevermore. Amen.